بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, we were covering the chapter باب الخوف, the chapter of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the chapter of fear, in which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi discusses that fear is a very important thing. And without fear, a person can very easily fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can fall into sins. So this fear is a barrier. This fear is something which restricts a person from falling into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So last week we covered this hadith, the hadith of Sayyiduna Adi ibn Hatim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that each and every single one of you, ما منكم من أحد إلا سيكلمه ربه ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان. Each and every single one of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to them directly on the day of Qiyamah. There will be no translator, there will be no interpreter between Allah and between him. Directly, every single human being, Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody will have a one-on-one conversation, one-to-one conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will look at his right side and he will not see anything except the deeds that he had sent forward for himself. And then he will look towards his left side and he will not find anything except for the deeds that he had sent ahead for himself in the dunya. And then he will look ahead of himself and the only thing that he will see is an-nar, the fire of Jahannam. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, stay away from the fire of Jahannam. Fear the fire of Jahannam. Beware of the fire of Jahannam, even though it may be by giving half of a date in charity. That any deed that a person does, never regard any amal as a small amal, small action. And last week I mentioned a hadith. When I said this, a hadith came to my mind, but I quoted the hadith wrong. And I thought there was something wrong, and then later I went and checked it up and I'd quoted it wrong. The hadith, it's an authentic hadith. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that there are 40 qualities. Arba'una khaslatan. There are 40 qualities. A'laha manihatul anz. That the greatest of those 40 qualities is to give the milk of a goat in charity. The milk, manihatun. I said to give a goat in charity. It's the milk of a goat in charity. This is the greatest of the 40 qualities. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever does any of those 40 qualities or any of those 40 actions, raja'a thawabiha, hopeful that Allah is going to reward them for it, wa tasdiqa maw'udiha, and believing that whatever Allah has promised me for it, I will definitely get it, أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely enter them into Jannah. 40 deeds, and the greatest of those 40 deeds is to give the milk of a goat in charity. Imagine milk of a goat, it's not a very expensive thing. But to give that in charity is the greatest of those 40. And the remaining 39 are smaller than that, or more inferior than that in terms of people's perception. And then I mentioned, I made another mistake here, another blunder. I said that one of the narrators of this hadith, Imam Hassan, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned last week that we thought about it and we could only think of 25 things. But actually, I checked the narration again, he mentions that we could only think of 15 things. In our minds, we could think of only 15 things which were smaller than giving the goat milk of a goat in charity. Meaning there were 25 things so small in the eyes of people, we couldn't even think about it. And he enumerates, he mentioned, for example, tashmiyatul atis, a person sneezes, a person responds to the sneezer, moving something harmful from the path. He mentioned giving the salam, responding to the salam. These are actions which, you know, are not the greatest of actions in Islam in terms of the reward, but these probably will be lower than giving the milk of a goat in charity. He said there were 25 a'mal we couldn't even think of. Like, what could it be that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to such small actions, but a person does it with the intention of thawab and reward? This is something called ihtisab. That a person, when they do an amal, they have hope that Allah Ta'ala is going to reward me for it. Very important. A person should make this, you know, our lifestyle. Kuch bhi karne se pehle niyat ye ho ki Allah Ta'ala isme mujhe ajr dega. Aur agar insaan ke samne har waqt, if a person has this at all times and at all you know stages, then what happens is insaan se insaan ke badan ke jo jore hain, badan ke jo the parts of his body, there will be very little bad actions that will emanate, because a person is thinking always, I want goodness, reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has umid and hope that Allah ta'ala se mujhe ajr lena hai, sawab hasil karna hai. I don't want anything from people. I'm not seeking any attention from people. I'm not seeking any name or fame. I don't even care if they praise me. I don't even care if they like me for it, if they thank me for it, if they appreciate. I don't care about any of these things. I just want the ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is ihtisab. So many times in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when you do a amal, have ihtisab. Hope that Allah ta'ala is going to reward you for it. So this is the hadith. I thought I'll just rectify and correct myself. But it's such an amazing hadith, subhanallah. 40 qualities. You know, so small in the eyes of the people, but in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, so great. Any of those actions a person does with the correct intention, Allah Ta'ala can enter them into Jannah. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إني أرى ما لا ترون وأسمع ما لا تسمعون أطت السماء وحق لها أن تأط ما فيها موضع أربع أصابع إلا وملك واضع جبهته ساجدا لله تعالى والله لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا وما تلذذتم بالنساء على الفرش ولخرجتم إلى الصعدات تجأرون إلى الله تعالى رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. سيدنا أبو ذر غفاري رضي الله عنه narrates this hadith. He mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, indeed, I have seen those things which you have not seen. وَأَسْمَعُ مَا لَا تَسْمَعُونَ And I hear those things which you do not hear. Or similarly, I have heard those things which you have not heard. أَطَّتِ السَّمَاءُ The heavens have squeaked or creaked. I'm going to explain it, inshallah, what that means. وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَن تَأِطَّ And it is right on them to creak or make that noise of creaking or squeaking noise. Why? Because مَا فِيهَا مَوْضِعُ أَرْبَعِ أَصَابِعُ There is no space of four fingers in the heavens. Except that وَمَلَكٌ وَاضِعٌ جَبْهَتَهُ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى Except that there is an angel who is doing sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهِ I swear by Allah, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ If only you knew that which I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا You would laugh very little, وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا And you would cry excessively. وَمَا تَلَذَّذْتُمْ بِالنِّسَاءِ عَلَى الْفُرُشِ And you would not take pleasure from marital relations with your wives. وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى الصُّعُدَاتِ And you would leave your homes and go out into the paths. تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Crying out and seeking the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a hadith. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this hadith in front of the sahaba. Whenever these narrations were mentioned, the Sahaba would just become uncontrollable. They would start screaming and they would start crying. You know, this is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firstly is portraying the greatness of Allah. That look how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The heavens that Allah has created, so vast. The seven heavens that Allah ta'ala has created, so vast, but they are squeaking. The ulama mentioned this word, atta. It refers to, you know, when a person sits down on a chair or a seat and it makes a creaking or squeaking noise. They refer to it in the sense of sitting on the saddle of a camel or a horse. A squeaking noise is made. Sometimes the burden which is imposed on that thing is quite heavy. So there's a lot of noise which is made. So this is the noise which is made from the heavens. There are so many angels. So many malaika, angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens, that there's no space for four fingers. And you'll find the angel doing sajda of Allah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heavens are filled with the malaika. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving this example to show. Imagine this Allah who has created these angels. It's famously Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So many examples. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently used to see the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, one of the first times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he was blocking the entire horizon. Couldn't see anything. One angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so humongous. The Mufassirun mention, the scholars of Tafsir mention, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to destroy the tribe of Lut alayhi salam, because of the filthy actions that they used to do, Allah ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And the angel Jibreel alayhi salam has 700 wings. 700? Saatso par. Jibreel alayhi salam, he has 700 wings. And with one wing, he lifted the entire earth underneath the tribe of Lut alayhi salam, and he flipped it down. And he totally destroyed them. So one of the opinions of the Mufassirun. So imagine one angel of Allah Ta'ala so great, and the heavens are filled with these malaika, these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is portraying, this is who Allah Ta'ala is, this is how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And in another hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi brings this hadith, that the angels are so scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so terrified of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command, كَأَنَّهُ سِلْسِلَةٌ عَلَىٰ صَفْوَانٍ, it sounds like a chain which is hitting a rock. When you get a chain and you strike it on a rock and this loud clanging sound, it sounds like that. And the angels start to tremble. And when their trembling finishes, they say, what has your Rabb said? What has your Rabb said? They ask each other, what did your Lord say? What did your Lord say? They're so, you know, in awe of Allah Ta'ala because they recognize, they know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And they are so much more powerful creatures than us. And we as human beings, we're so weak, but we feel to ourselves that we're something so special. And we feel we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we underestimate the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much we need Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. The people have not appreciated Allah the way they should have appreciated Him. Only on the day of Qiyamah, when a person dies and they see and then they realize, Ya Allah, I never understood how important You were in my life. In the dunya, I never understood. Everything else was given priority. I couldn't make you a priority. My salah time came and I busied myself with other things. Your obligations came, I busied myself with other things. I thought to myself, should I do this or should I do that instead? And I always prioritized other things over your fulfilling your rights. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will be so ashamed. How can I show my face in front of Allah? Because that's when they will realize how much Allah has really done for us inside of this dunya. So it's very, very important. While we still have this time, that we make the most of this time and fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for the, you know, this hadith, you know, this fear of Allah Ta'ala used to strike the hearts of the pious people. Really, I was reading about Sayyidina Fudail bin Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi. The great saint of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes he'd just leave his home and he'd just start walking. People would say, Fudail, where are you going? He'd say, I don't know. So much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Awais Qarni rahmatullahi alayhi, a great, known as Sayyidu Tabi'in, the greatest of the Tabi'un, he would sometimes go to the barber and the barber wouldn't know why he came. The barber would start cutting his hair. And he's quiet, he's not saying anything. And then the barber would start talking about something totally, you know, barber, you go to a barber shop, mashallah, they're talking about all kinds of iran turan ki baat hai. So he starts talking about something, Sayyidina Awais Qari would start, burst out crying. Everyone would say, what's wrong with this person? And before his haircut is even finished, he'd get up and he'd walk away and he's just crying. And people would say, this person is pagal, this person is mad. The reality was that their hearts were filled with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were so terrified, a time will come when I will die. What face am I going to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They were so worried that the sins I've done of my in my past, has Allah even forgiven those sins? You know, people would look at them and say, look at his tahajjud, look at his piety, look at his knowledge, look at this, look at that, look at this. But they would say, I have no idea whether this sin that I committed 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Allah has even forgiven me for it or not. So what are you people looking at? What are you people staring at? Leave me alone. This was the reality. They wouldn't want to be known. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhim, about 40 years of his life he spent in the jungles, in the wilderness, wandering around. Nobody knew him. He didn't know anyone. Later on, he came out of this. And then he mentions later on in his life that I loved that time. I enjoyed that time so much. I used to be hidden in the jungles, busy with the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So happy. But it was Allah's plan to get me out into the people. Or alhamdulillah, because of this, many people, the people were supposed to benefit. And then he mentions, 5,000 people have embraced Islam at my hands. And he mentions, hundreds of thousands of people have done, taken their tawbah at my hands, have changed their life and reformed their lives. said, it's because of this Allah Ta'ala made me come out. What now? I wanted to stay away from people. The reality was this. Why come out in front of people? These a'mal. That's why, you know, they say, there's one is a'malul sir and one is a'malul alaniya. The actions which are done publicly and the actions that are done secretly. The pious people would say, we never rely upon our a'mal that are done publicly. Our speeches, our bayans, our this and that. We never rely on them. Because there's so much chance of shaitan interfering in those a'mal. But the actions that are done between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, those are the actions that I hope in the, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through those actions, Allah ta'ala will forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercy upon me. وعن أبي برزة براء ثم زاين نصلة بن عبيد الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن علمه فيما فعل وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن جسمه فيما أبلاه رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. سيدنا أبو برزة رضي الله عنه narrates رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated کہ قیامت کے دن انسان بندے کے قدم قیامت کے دن آگے نہیں بڑھیں گے حتیٰ کہ اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو نہیں پوچھے اس کے عمر کے بارے میں زندگی کے بارے میں کہ کس چیز میں اپنے زندگی کو اس نے گزارا ہے اور اپنے علم کے بارے میں کہ اپنے علم کے ساتھ اس نے کیا کیا اور اپنے مال کے بارے میں کہ کہاں سے اپنے مال کو کمایا اور کس چیز میں اور کہاں اپنے مال کو خرچ کیا اور اپنے بدن کے بارے میں کہ کن چیزوں کے اندر اپنے بدن کو پرانا کیا. So this hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has narrated that the feet of the servant on the day of Qiyamah will not move, meaning you will not be able to go ahead until you are asked about, a person is asked about his life. What did he spend his life doing? And about his ilm, his knowledge. What did he do with the knowledge that he had? And about his wealth. Where did he earn his wealth from and where did he spend his wealth? And about his body that Allah Ta'ala had given him. فِيمَ أَبْلَاهُ. What did he wear his body out on? Upon which actions did he wear his body out, tie his body out? This is a very important hadith, subhanAllah. On the day of Qiyamah, a person is going to be responsible. This is the greatest word we can use here. Responsibility, zimmedari. Masooliya. A person on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to ask about each and every single one of your responsibilities. Your body was your responsibility. You were supposed to fulfill the rights of your body according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your wealth, again, this was, sorry, not responsibility, amana, trust. Your body was an amana, a trust from Allah. How did you use your body? You're going to have to answer. I am going to have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My wealth, my maal is an amana. Where am I earning my wealth from? How am I spending it? What am I spending it upon? Israf and wasting money. Such a big problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Baraka Hafsab sitting in front of me. He was mentioning to me some very important points the other day. Opened my eyes as well about israf and fuzul kharchi and how people are wasting. And the bad effects, the nahusat of wasting. We had in Uldum our great scholar Murna Fadlur Rahim Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, always mentioned this. He would always carry a pen knife on him, a pen knife. You know, the small knife that you open. And the reason why he would carry that, sirf eki wajah, only one reason. Whenever he would sit down to eat, if he was eating anything which had meat on it, he would first eat the meat, he would bite it, he would shred it with his teeth. And at the end, after he'd cleaned his plate, everything was clean, he'd take out the pen knife. Then he'd pick up the bone, and he'd scrape off anything which is edible on the bone, and then he would eat it. So that not a single grain is wasted. And look at our quality. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't eat food the way we eat food. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the house in which there is vinegar. This is, you know, plenty of food. The purpose of mentioning that from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to show that food should not be the way we eat food. So much masala and so much options. Food should be simple. You know, one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the best food is thareed. And this was the most beloved food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thareed. And the ulama mentioned why. What is thareed? When you have bread and you have meat and it is mixed together. Mentioned because it saves so much time. You don't have to rip the bread, you don't have to rip the meat. It's already done for you. So it's a quick meal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit like this when eating. Many times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit, you know, like this position. Not the at-tahiyyat position, but this position. When we sit like this. The ulama mentioned that Rasulullah would sit like this, and he would eat. And once he was sitting like this, an A'rabi, a Bedouin man, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, he's in Riyadh al-Salihin. And he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu jilsatin hadihi? What kind of sitting is this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is a sitting which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us there would be no discussion of food in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No discussion of food. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahmatullahi alayhi mentions Rasulullah's majlis had no discussion of food. Food was nothing important. Ke beto aur khane ke bare mein baat karo. Ek ghanta, do ghanta. What do you enjoy eating? What do I enjoy eating? What does he enjoy eating? What's your favorite takeaway? Your favorite restaurant? Your favorite mitai? Your favorite pilau? Everybody give their opinions. There would be no mention of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would like something, he would eat it. If he did not like something, he would leave it. Point I'm mentioning here is this israf. So the wealth Allah ta'ala has given us, where we have earned it from, first of all, Allah is going to ask us about. Did you earn it through halal sources? That's why we need to consult with the ulama before we do any, especially business ventures, consult with the ulama. All this trading and all of these different things now, and there's so many options now. And now because, unfortunately, there's so much temptation. There's not just temptation of women on social media, there's temptation of money. And this is probably now becoming a bigger fitna. Because people, there's so much women that people have now gone from there to another fitna, which is, this person is rich, this person is rich, this person is rich, this person is rich, this guy's driving this nice car, this guy's living in this nice house, he's only 18 years old, 20 years old, 25 years old, got all of this. So a person has so much, desire and temptation and regret, that how come I can't get there? What can I do to get there? How can I get rich quick? Should I start my own YouTube channel? Should I go and invest in this Forex? Should I go and buy some Bitcoin? And you know, and one of the main things that these YouTubers and these social media people are doing is that they're bringing this to the forefront. Everybody look at how this person got rich quickly. Everybody look at how this person got rich quickly. So all of us are so tempted that I need to become rich quick. And this temptation of wealth, so people are falling into it. Many times they're not asking any questions. I just need to drive a car like that. I don't care. You know, there's grey area, but I need that car. Everybody's got it. Everybody's got a nice house. And mashallah, if our wives get hold of it, subhanallah. This person is going on holiday here. This person is eating from this restaurant. This person's family is going there. Gee, when are we going to go there? So all of this, look at this, it becomes such a big fitna. So that's why we need to keep this hadith in front of us. That before, business ventures are halal. Go and earn a halal livelihood. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, earning a halal livelihood is a fard obligation. After the fard obligations Allah has placed upon our shoulders, go and earn a halal livelihood, always consult with ulama. You know, mashallah, many times, brothers, we have one of our brothers in Holland. Every time he asks me these complicated questions, he's starting these businesses, what about this, what about that? Many times I have no clue, then we have to do the research or ask others. But it shows that the person has talab, that every penny of mine has to be halal. He wanted to start a business was fine, I want to use ads. Can I use the hand of a female just to show that she's wearing a watch or something? You know, these questions people don't even think about. So what? You know, using the picture of a hand of a female, what difference does it make? You know, he would ask these questions. Is this jaiz? Is this jaiz? Is this jaiz? And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask me every small detail. How did you make your money? How did you make it? And then where did you spend it? What did you buy? So important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiallahu anhu, "Oh Abdul Rahman, you're a very good person. Well, I'm seeing that you are crawling into Jannah." Meaning you're not easily going into Jannah, you're crawling, you're struggling to get into Jannah. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Awf is terrified. Ya Rasulullah, why? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because it's all of this money. You have to give hisab and you have to give reckoning for all of this money. What did you do with all this money that you had? He's a rich person. So being rich doesn't mean it's happy for a few days in the dunya, but in the akhirah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the poor people will enter into Jannah 500 years before the rich people. Because the rich people are going, the hisab, Ya Allah, what did I do with this money, and money is coming in from here and coming in from here. The hisab will take so long, the poor people will enter into Jannah in that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. Actually, you know, we quickly mentioned this last point, I forgot. وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَغُ Your body, what did you use your body for? Subhanallah, I was reading one of the pious predecessors. He would stand in tahajjud. Sayyidina Masruq, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great student of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas. He would stand in tahajjud. Listen to this, my dear brothers, including for myself. He would stand in tahajjud for so long at night, the bottom of his feet would become blistered. His wife would sit there crying. People would come and say, "Why are you crying?" She would say, "I think he's going to kill himself. I think he's going to kill himself. He's doing so much ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just going to kill himself. He's going to finish himself." They would finish themselves, exhaust their body, tire their bodies in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, if you went to Masjid al-Nabawi, there were ropes everywhere. Why? Because they would stand in tahajjud until they were falling asleep. Then they would hold the rope and they would carry on. They wouldn't let themselves sit down. They wouldn't let themselves stop. One great scholar said to his student, "Stand, sit next to me in tahajjud. If you see my eyes dozing off, take a stone, put it between my fingers and squeeze my fingers together to wake me up. Because in this dunya, I need as much good a'mal as I possibly can. In the akhirah, I'm going to need every single bit." They understood this life is temporary. Akhirah is the real deal. So they would exhaust their bodies. They would tire their bodies out in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we're very, very weak. A person has to have consistency. A person needs to have a balance. The point is, these serve as a motivation for us. That if the pious people went ahead, I need to do something. So on the day of Qiyamah, when I stand, and these pious people are standing, the great Sahaba and the great Tabi'un and the great saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mujhe to kuch bhi, I need to have something that I can show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, minute, kuch bhi mehnat kya hai dunya ke andar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice one of these few things. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.